I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for being such a great God. Thank you that the blood still works. Thank you that Jesus willingly gave his life for us to have a more than abundant life. So we come in his name because you told us we can come boldly to the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And God, we need a word this morning that is going to strengthen us, direct us, encourage us, and in some cases correct us. But we thank you because this word that you have for us today, it is going to be a lamp unto our feet. It is going to be a light unto our path. And we thank you that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word spoken today will never pass away. We thank you for what you're doing in this place, and we thank you for your presence. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Can everybody say amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. How many visitors do we have in the house today? Can you just wave if you're visiting the house? Come on, we got some in the house. Come on, give our visitors a big hand clap this morning. Well, I'm starting a new series for the month of May called You Matter. Everybody say You Matter. Now, before I get into what I'm going to be teaching, my birthday actually falls on a Sunday. And I didn't like that. Because if you don't know me, you don't know. But I just don't like all the attention. Honestly, it's uncomfortable. So anyway, the staff is pushing, and you know how they can be. And then First Lady is the big pusher. But anyway, I decided, you know what? I want to give something away on my birthday. So I'm going to be turning 61. So I'm going to be giving away $6,100 on that day. So we're going to give $2,000 away in the first service, $2,000 in the second service, and $2,100 in the third service. So, you know, you'll get a ticket when you come in. And just know the ticket colors are going to change, so you can't use it twice. Okay? So I just wanted to throw that in as an update, all right? So this series is called You Matter. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, You Matter. And the purpose of the series is actually threefold. It's to help believers understand that serving is an obligation, not a negotiation. The second reason I'm teaching this is to help believers see that their service in God's kingdom matters. And then number three, help believers understand that serving positions them to receive asking status from God. So if you're taking notes this morning, or if you need the notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes. But our lesson title is To Love is to Serve. Everybody say, to love is to serve. Amen. And if you're married, just look at your spouse and tell them, if you love me, you will serve me. Mm-hmm. And the goal of the message today is to see or help you see how important you are to the body of Christ, help you understand why you owe Jesus your service. And then finally today, we're going to help you see the benefits that come with serving. So I want you to look at somebody else, your least favorite neighbor. You didn't pick him the first time. How about like this? Maybe your second neighbor. Look at your second neighbor and say to them, you matter. I don't want to start no mess up in here. So recently, the girls woke up and there was water all over the bathroom floor. And when I went to see what happened, there was water leaking from the air conditioned vent from the ceiling. And so it had leaked to the point where it had created a ring around the ceiling. So I went up to the attic to find out what the problem was. And lo and behold, the hot water heater, which is located in the attic, was leaking. And so, you know, I'm not a Mr. Fix-It, but I can get it fixed. So I do what most people do. I call the 800 number on the hot water tank. And so I called that number, and it was the manufacturer of the actual hot water heater. And once I described to the individual that was on the phone what was happening, the lady said that the part that was causing the leak was an $8 part at Home Depot. Now, what's interesting is to replace the part, we had to drain the hot water heater. And that was a lot of work in and of itself. And so, again, I got off that phone call and I called a professional. And they came out, and what we discovered was that not only was the hot water heater leaking from this part on the outside, it had been leaking on the inside, and it had corroded the bottom of the hot water heater. Long story short, this $8 part cost $3,000 to fix. Who would have ever thought that something that small played such an important role in us getting hot water? Well, that's a great picture of the average person in church. They don't think that their service matters when in reality their small part makes a huge difference. Say amen to that. So if you're taking notes or following, my first point is very simple. You matter. Everybody say, I matter. Amen. I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read in verse 14. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. It's talking about the body of Christ. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body, everybody say the whole body. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have how many parts? Many parts, and God, who? God has put each part just where he wants it. Now, I like the King James Version of verse 18. This is what it says. But now, everybody say now. Now has God set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. Who set you in the body? God set us in the body, and he set us in the body in a way that pleased him. So if you leave the body that God has set you in, watch this, because someone else left, then you didn't set you, God set you. So if you leave because somebody else is leaving, then that means they must have set you and not God. Amen. I'm so tired of the phrase, that's why I'm not going to church. No, that's not the reason you stop going to church. I'm talking to the internet church right now. You know, you got the Instagram church, you got the Facebook church, you got the TikTok church. So I'm talking to the online church. The reason you don't go to church is not because of somebody. You don't go because you have decided you don't matter in the body of Christ. Verse 19 goes on to say, how strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, say many parts, But only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Stomp your little toe in the middle of the night and we'll see how important your little toe is. Verse 23, and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for who? Each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Say amen to that. I love Philippians 2:13. I want to read it too. It says, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And the next verse says, so do everything that you do without murmuring and disputing. Another way of saying that is do it without complaining. Did you realize that when Christ died for you, you now owe him your life? Look at your neighbor and say, you owe Jesus your life. 1 Corinthians 6:18, the first part of the verse has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but I'm going to read it because we have some single people in the room. Single people, raise your hands. Single people, raise your hands. Okay, good. I'm talking to you in the first part of this. Flee fornication. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside or without the body. But he that commits fornication, if you're not from church, fornication means sex without marriage. He says, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Here's the part I want us to focus on. He says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And read this part with me. And you are not your own. Watch what he says in verse 20. For you, touch your neighbor, say he's talking to you. For you have been bought with a price, church. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Did you know that our sin cost Jesus his life? And the cost to redeem us from that sin was very expensive. Have anybody had a family member go to jail? Raise your hand. Any family member go to jail? Yeah, that's lots of us in here. That's probably almost all of us, right? How many of us have went to jail? No, don't raise your hand. But you know, depending on the crime or the sin that they committed will determine how much their bond is. In other words, if you've murdered somebody, your bond is going to be extremely high if they even allow you to be bondable. In other words, the cost of the person's sin, or in this case in the natural, the cost of whatever they did, the higher the crime, the higher the cost. Well, guess what? The higher the sin, the more expensive it was for the person that needed to redeem you from the sin. And the cost for us to be redeemed was the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 in the New Living Translation. It says, for you, touch your neighbor again and say he's talking to you. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses their value. But listen, you were paid. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. It was the Lamb of God and his blood that redeemed you. Amen. Romans 14:7 says, for none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether you and I live, we live unto who? The Lord. And whether we die unto who? The Lord. And whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. So listen, church, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ because he purchased us with his own blood. And one of the ways, listen, I'm getting ready to turn a corner now. This is a hard left. Ah! One of the ways that we show our love and our gratitude for Christ is by serving his people. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 in the New Living Translation says, for you have been called to live in freedom. How can we do that? Because Jesus died to free us from sin. So you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom, read this with me, to serve one another in love. Do y'all remember the story when Jesus, he had died, he rose again, and he had reappeared to his disciples and his apostles? And he ended up having a conversation with Peter, which I'm going to read only so that you can see that that when Jesus died and he freed us to serve. So he says in John 21, verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, the son of Jonas, he said, Simon, do you love me more than these? And Simon said to him, well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And that's what many people in the body of Christ say. Lord, you know I love you. He said unto him, feed my what? Feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And he said to him, well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, read it with me, feed my sheep. But then verse 17 says, so he came to Simon a third time and he says, son of Jonas, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And so he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, let's read it again. Feed my sheep. So watch this, church. Here's the point that I'm making here. We show our love for Christ when we serve his people. And that's what he was saying to Peter. If you love me, feed or serve my sheep. Which now brings us to point number two, which is serving is a heart thing, not just a hand thing. I'm going to say that again. Serving is a heart thing, not just a hand thing. In other words, what I'm saying is serving starts from the heart before it happens with your hands. And this is why anytime your heart gets off, look at your neighbor and ask him, is your heart off? Anytime your heart gets off, listen, eventually your hands will get off. When a married couple, when their hearts gets off towards each other, they stop serving each other. Here it is, you used to get out and open the door for her. Now she having to open her own door. What happened? Amen. You used to fix his plate. It's quiet in here, ain't it? Used to fix his plate. Now if he asks you, baby, where's my plate? She looks and says, have you fixed it? When your heart gets off, your hands get off. This happens in a church. When people's heart gets off, their serving gets off. In the name of I'm tired. Let me ask you a question. This is a side note. Touch your neighbor and say, this is a side note. Do you think Jesus gets tired of forgiving you for that same sin you committing? I'm tired. You owe him your life. You would still be in spiritual jail had he not bonded you out with his blood. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, for you, brethren, you've been called to liberty. Only use not your liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. So there are three things that I want you to see about that verse that we just read. Here's the first thing I want you to see. We have been freed from sin so that we can serve. Here's number two I want you to notice. Notice that it didn't say that by the law serve one another. It says that by love serve one another. Here's a take-home statement. Serving with love says I want to. Serving from the law says I have to. Can you imagine being in love? And the only reason they're doing what they do is because they have to. Amen. Can you imagine? Somebody said, no, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine. Can you imagine someone only doing what they're doing is because they have to? It's like kids when you make them go clean their room. They're not cleaning it because they want to. They're cleaning it because what? They better. Right? Here's the third thing I want you to see about that verse is serving is a spiritual thing because it's done from the heart. And the heart is a spiritual thing. Romans chapter 7 verse 6 says, but now we are delivered from the law that being dead wherein we were held. Watch this. So that we should serve. Everybody say serve. He's saying, listen, we've been delivered from the law so that we should serve. Watch this. In the newness of what? Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. In other words, our service is done in spirit. And if it's done in spirit, that means it's done from the heart. So all of what we do should be motivated by love because love is of God and love is God. And because God is love and we have been created in his image, we should be motivated by the love of God. Watch this now. And people will benefit from our service that we do from love. But if we don't do it in love, they will benefit from it more than we do. Now, here's the thing. You may be asking, well, should we benefit from serving people even though we're supposed to? My answer to that question is, yes, you should benefit from your serving. Now, you say, well, I don't know about that, Apostle. Well, I'll show you that at the end. You should expect back something from your service. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm just going to briefly read what love looks like or what service looks like without having love in it. Do you know that cooking don't taste as good if it's not cooked with love? Amen. It's the same meal. You use the same ingredients, woman of God. But for some reason, it don't taste as good as it did the last time. Because the last time, you was in a good mood. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Paul says, if I could speak in all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't have love for others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and I possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but if I didn't love others, I would be nothing. Watch what verse 3. He says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. Watch this. But if I didn't love others, read this part with me, church, I would have gained nothing. Now, I love the King James Version. The King James Version says, it profits me nothing. In other words, when you and I serve others, if we're not doing it out of love, if it's not being motivated by love, watch this. They will benefit from it, but it doesn't profit us at all. Everybody say years ago. You may have heard this story, but it applies right here. I attended, from an academic scholarship standpoint, I went to Jarvis Christian College my first 2 years of college. But Jarvis was too small for me. They didn't have dorm visitation between opposite sex. That was important to me.
They didn't have a big enough variety of food. Okay, and it was just too small. So I transferred from Jarvis over to Prairie View A&M University. Back then, it was known as the party capital of America, and I heard recently they still hold that trophy. So anyway, I get there, and lo and behold, I get saved at Prairie View. What a college to get saved at. So I get saved, and so I started going to this local Bible study called Joy Bible Study. It was ran by the students. So I got to know friends, and you know, if you have just become a Christian, it's very important of who you hang out with. So I started meeting new people, and what's interesting is at this Bible study there was a lady named Miss Norris that used to attend. Now, there are two things about Miss Norris that made her different. Number one, Miss Norris was white. Now we're talking about a majority African American school, so she stuck out a little bit. Okay, but then what really made Miss Norris stick out is Miss Norris was probably in her mid-40s. Now, the average student in college starts at 18. So Miss Norris kind of stood out. And so the other thing about Miss Norris is I noticed that she walked everywhere she went. Well, Miss Norris didn't have a car. And then she lived off campus. So you would see Miss Norris walking, and sometimes you see her walking, and she'd have a little backpack. Then you see her walking sometimes, and she'd have grocery bags in her hand. And so when I saw Miss Norris this one day, I said, Miss Norris, I noticed that, you know, you're walking from the grocery store. Anytime you need me to take you to the grocery store, because I had a car, I said, just let me know. She was happy. She was like, thank you so much, Evan. So one day, because, see, service can be inconvenient. Miss Norris called me on a day I was tired as a dog. Ruff, ruff, ruff. So I'm laying in my dorm room bed. The phone rings. Now, young people, you have to understand, this is way before cell phones. So I couldn't answer the phone laying in the bed. That didn't work. The phone was on the wall, and it had this long cord connected to it. So my roommate happened to be there. He gets up and he answers the phone. Hello? And guess who was on the other line? Miss Norris. And he was like, hey, how can I help you, Miss Norris? She says, is Ebbing there? And so he said, hold on for a minute. And he had to put his hand over the phone because there was no mute button back then.
Ebbing, Miss Norris is on the phone.
I said, well, ask her what she wants. Miss Norris, he said, what do you need? She said, well, can you ask him to come pick me up to go grocery shopping? And so I said, what does she need? He told me. I said, well, let her know I'll be there. So he hangs up the phone. And I stay in the bed. I lay there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And he's looking at me like, what's up with you, dude? So he's like, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? He said, you just told Miss Norris you were going to pick her up to take her to the grocery store. I said, I am. He said, why haven't you got up? I said, because I'm not willing right now. See, it says if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I did not want to get up and serve her without having love because she would benefit from it, but I wouldn't. And many times we're serving, but our hearts are not right. Therefore, the people who we are serving benefit more from our service than we do. Say amen to that, church. Which brings us now to our third point, and that is serving should start with him before it is given to them. I'm going to say that again. Serving should start with him before it's given to them. Everybody say, serving should start with him before it's given to them. Not only should our serving be done through love, watch this now, it should start with our love for Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 in the King James says, servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart. Notice now that service is coming from the heart. In singleness of heart, as unto who, church? Unto Christ, not unto the pastor, not unto the people, he says, but unto Christ. Not with eye service, you do it when they're looking, but as men pleasers, but as servants of who? Christ. Watch this. Doing the will of God from where? That's where service starts from. Watch verse 7. Here's our key verse. With good will, doing service, read it with me, as to the Lord and not to men. Listen, church, if your service starts with man, it will eventually stop. But if it starts with Christ, it will last. You know why? Because people will hurt you. How many have been hurt? Let me see your hand. Yeah. People will hurt you. People will misunderstand you. People will not appreciate what you're doing. People may not say thank you. But here's the thing. Jesus never changes. So when I'm doing what I'm doing as unto him, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so all the excuses that we might use to stop serving or not serve at all, he's saying, no, it's not about them. It's about him. Amen. All this, you know, the term church hurt, I get that. It's not really church hurt. It's really people hurt. It is. Listen, you got work hurt. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You got work hurt. How many been hurt at work? Somebody lied, and look at everybody hand up. And if your hand wasn't up, you hurting everybody. That's what it is. Church hurt. No, you got work hurt. When you got hurt at work, you didn't quit. Your best friend got fired. I'm leaving too. You dumb. Your friend ain't paying your bills. Right? No. And it's interesting how we manage church hurt different from work hurt. Amen. So let's say you got church hurt. Why you stop going to church? I'm talking to the internet church now. Why you just stop going to church altogether? You didn't stop working? You might have changed jobs. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Well, you and I have been created by Christ to do good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Watch this, unto good works. What have we been created to do? Do good works. Watch this, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You and I have been created to serve and to do good works. And that's why outside of Jesus, we can do nothing. Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth, notice it says, much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So serving should always start with Christ in mind first. I said earlier, should we benefit from us loving and serving people? And the answer to that question is yes. You say, well, why is that a yes? Shouldn't you do something without any expectations? Well, it depends on what you're doing. Which brings us now to our fourth and last point, which is serving has benefits. How many have a job with benefit packages? You know, you might have gotten dental, and you got medical, and you got eyes. You know, these days, you know, the whole eyeglasses thing, the percent is so low, you might as well just pay cash for it. Right? Well, serving has benefits. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 tells us how we are to serve, and then it tells us one of the benefits. He says, and whatever you do, okay, so that includes everything. That's not just work now. He's saying whatever you do, if you're washing your wife's car, if you're washing your children's clothes, if you're turning in reports at work, if you're serving here at church as an usher or a greeter, you're serving in the media department, you're on cameras, whatever it is. He says if you serve, whatever you do, watch how he tells us. He said do it. Everybody say heartily. Do it from the heart. Watch this. As unto who? The Lord. And not unto men. Why? Because men might have made you mad. You ever had to serve your spouse and you was mad at them? Just look straight. We won't know. He says, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And the only, listen, and here's what needs to be your motivation to do that. Because he tells us now in the next verse, he says, knowing. See, the only way I'm going to do what I do as unto the Lord, the only way I'm going to serve out of love is that I have to know something. He says, well, what is that? Knowing that from the Lord, you are going to receive your reward. For you serve the Lord Christ. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5. It says, servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Watch verse 7, because the focus is verse 8. With good will, doing service to who? To the Lord. And not to who? Not to men. Here's the next verse. Knowing what? Knowing that whatever good you do to any man, you will receive the same from the Lord. So the only way I'm going to serve with love and with consistency, I got to know that a reward is coming from God. And here's what's interesting. When we love and we serve others, we can justifiably expect, watch this, God to bless us. But here's the thing. God, watch this, he blesses us, but he uses man to do it. The blessings come through man, even though it's from God. And serving, because serving is a form of good works, because it is, then serving also is a form of what I'm going to call fruit producing. Now, some of you who've been here a long time know this, but you know, I've found out that the word leaks. Vision leaks. This is why you have to tell your kids the same thing over. There's my clock. I'm out of time. We got to serve our kids or say to them over. And same thing. I mean, it would be great to just go ahead and put a recording, record everything. As soon as they come in the room, you push the button. Did you put your clothes on? They come back in, push the button. Did you brush your teeth? You come in, push the button. Did you put some deodorant on? Same thing. But vision leaks. So John chapter 15, verse 16, I'm going to close right here. John 15, 16 says, Jesus was talking. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And in addition to me choosing you, I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth what, church? Fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Stop right there. That tells us that it is possible to produce fruit and then fruit stops. He said, I want you to go because I've ordained you to produce some fruit. He says, but listen, I don't want your fruit production to stop. And then he tells us what the reward of that is. He says, if you will produce and bring forth fruit and your fruit remains, he says, then whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Wow, that's asking status. And here's the problem. Number one, most believers don't know they have asking status when they serve. That's number one. And number two, if they serve and they know that, they don't even ask. Listen, I'm very aware of my asking status with God. And so, if I'm asking for something and it doesn't quite seem to be working out the way I think it should, I go back. I don't evaluate, can God do it? I go back and reevaluate if that's something he wants me to be asking for. Now, most of the time, what I'm asking is according to his will. Not that I'm asking something that's not, but some things, you know, you're not going to find in the Bible. You know, you're not going to find thou shall marry James. That's not in the Bible. thou shalt buy a Honda Accord. You're not going to find that in the Bible. And so that's why it says, what things soever you desire when you pray. So now it turns into a desire. But see, a desire still falls under the category of whatever I ask the Father. Okay? So you may be asking for a Honda, but you have the budget for a Hyundai. So he going to answer your prayer. He's just going to do it according to your budget. Right? But I'm saying, how many of us are serving and we qualify for asking status, but we ain't asking for nothing? And here's the problem. Most of us don't ask because we're trying to figure out how can God do it. But the whole point of asking him is asking him to do something that I can't do myself. That's the whole point of asking. The whole point of asking, watch this now, is to involve him in things that I can't do on my own. So now listen, if you don't need to ask him to get your nails done. You can do that yourself. I'm talking about asking him to do things that only he can. I'm saying, Lord, give me a raise that jumps me up 3 pay grades. But you're saying, well, Pastor, they don't do that on my job. Yeah, you know why? Because nobody has had the faith on your job to ask God to do it. I'm closing with this. Everybody say, years ago. Years ago, I was looking and I wanted a Cadillac Escalade. It's a long time ago. And so I went to go see this car, and it was like, let's say it was 2025 or 2026 like it is now, and the 2027s came out. So I was looking at like a 2027, but it was 2026. And so I'm looking at this vehicle, and so I like it. It's the right color and everything. And so I sit down with the salesman, and he says to me, these are only available for lease. I'm like, why? He said, well, because we still have too many 2025s. I'm just using this year. We only have, you know, we still have too many 2025s in stock. We need to get rid of them before we sell the 2026s. But if you want to lease it, we can do that. I was like, I don't want to lease a car. I want to buy it. And so he says, well, I can put you on my call list. And so when they come out with the program for you to buy it, then, you know, I'll call you and let you know. I was like, no. I said, hold on. I'll be right back. So I had a friend that worked for General Motors, you know, he was kind of like, he wasn't like in the plant or nothing. He was like somewhere up here, right? So I called him. I said, hey, I'm at the dealership, and this guy's telling me I can't buy no Cadillac Escalade. He was like, they said there ain't no program for it. He says, I tell you what, he says, do me a favor. Give me about 15, 20 minutes. I'll call you back. 15 minutes, 20 minutes go by. He calls him back and says, hey, just ask the salesperson to go look it back up in the computer. So I go back in his office and I say, excuse me, sir, can you do me a favor? I say, can you look in the computer now for a purchase program for the Escalades? He's like, but I just looked it up and I told you they don't have a program. I said, but look again. I be dog, how did you do that? Listen. They put a program in place just because I wanted an Escalade. Why? Because I know I have asking status with God. Well, church, let me tell you something. When you are serving the body of Christ, when you're doing what Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, if you love me, serve my people. If you're serving, you qualify for asking status. My instructions to you is start asking. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Why are you not asking? I know why you're not asking. Because you feel like you don't deserve it or you're not qualified. The blood qualified you. I said the blood qualified you. So church, thank you for that backup. I appreciate that. I felt Baptist for a moment there. So how do we apply the message today? I'm done. How do we apply the message today? Number one, ask yourself the question, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Here's the second thing I want you to do is we must move serving in the church now from being a negotiation to becoming an obligation. You need to do something. Now, there are different ways you can serve. You know, God has gifted some of you all to make money. And your time is so slim. But do you know your money can serve that purpose? Because God's gifted different people in different ways. Some people God has gifted to make money, and their biggest contribution is giving money. Now, that's not the only one. You say, well, you're talking about your tithe. No, I'm not talking about tithing now. I'm talking about giving, because giving is beyond that, right? Tithing is something we all should do, and here's what I love about it, is that God has given everybody the same criteria. 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%. We all got that right. But then it's that giving over and above. So you got to move serving from negotiating to being obligating. Here's number three. Refocus your heart so that your serving has right motives and intentions. Start back doing it as unto the Lord. Here's number four. Understand that serving in God's house is why God created you. Start serving if you're not. Did y'all get something out of the message today? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life.